Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today, we have Ariel Davis and Michaela Silva on the show, two members of the Clovis Community College Speech and Debate Club and team. One of the most formative experiences for me in both high school and college was competing on the speech and debate team. Not only did I learn how to speak publicly, but I also learned how to think critically. These teams and clubs are so important for the development of our students' thinking and speaking abilities, and we need to promote them as much as we can. Let's go meet Ariel and Michaela. Guests, politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best. Fresno's best. Ariel and Michaela, where do you guys like to eat in Fresno?
So I'll start off, and my main place to eat in Fresno is probably Tamari Robotayaki and Whiskey Bar. It's a wonderful sushi restaurant. I just love the ambiance. I go there all the time with my parents, and I bring everybody who ever visits Fresno there because I think it's the best spot to eat for like a night out.
What do you like to order?
So I tried the Wagyu steak over there for the first time, and I will tell you, my life was changed. I looked at my friend when we were eating it, and we were like, this is, I'm never leaving. Like, I'm just going to live here.
That's fantastic. What about you, Ariel?
I would definitely say Banzai Japanese Bar and Kitchen in Tower District. Okay. I love it. I'm a huge sushi person, but then we checked it out, and me and my friends, we all went together as a little group. And we ordered the udon, and we were like, okay, this is instantly the best udon in Fresno. We really loved it. And then I also like to get the orange blossom from there. It's really good. I love it.
What makes the udon there so good?
Love. I don't know. It was just, I've tried it. I've tried it at so many different places in Fresno. And I feel like it has more to it. I don't know. And then the broth isn't as salty.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, I'm excited to have you guys on. And for a little background for me, for my listeners who don't know, I competed in speech and debate in college, and well, high school and college. And it was very formative for me in building confidence, building my writing abilities, building a number of things that have carried through my life. And a lot of the people that I competed with, we traveled across the country together, and I really got to know them in a deeper way than, and maybe even some of my roommates from college. So it's an amazing experience, and it's kind of little known. I think people understand that there's debate teams, but if you ask them what speech was in college, you might get some varied answers. So I want each of you in turn to talk about what drew you to speech and what you love about it.
So I can start off, and basically what drew me to speech is probably, just to give some background, I didn't know forensics because it was an elective at my school, that forensics was speech and debate. So basically all my life, I've been pretty quiet. There was always the comment of, oh, she never really talks in class. So my parents told me forensics was the study of just forensic science. So I joined it thinking it was that. So initially I had no interest in speech and debate. But once I joined, it felt like it gave me a voice for the first time. And I've just been hooked ever since, I think, seventh grade.
Fantastic. What about you, Ariel?
So I've always been a pretty shy person, but I've always been loud, obviously. And so I had really intense stage fright and anxiety growing up. And so I forced myself to do choir in elementary school and middle school, but that was like you're in a group of people, you blend in. Whereas in high school, I saw we had a speech and debate team, and I was like, okay, so this would be, I'm going up in front of people, I'm alone, and this is a skill I need to develop. It's very important to be successful in life. And I joined, and I was just, it was such a welcoming environment at my high school. And I was with like-minded people who wanted to improve and wanted to talk about anything. And it was just amazing to finally step out of my comfort zone and use my voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I mean, I think we all three joined, you know, for similar reasons. I'm actually a quite introverted person. And I think
I have this habit. I don't know if it's my skin tone or my hair color, but I uncontrollably blush when I stand up in front of a room and speak. And that's actually it. I will go ahead and disclose it. That still happens today. I have a little bit better control, but some of it's beyond my control. But yeah, I think the challenge of having to get up in front of people, and I think one of the benefits of it is that you get up in front of smaller groups. You're competing. So there's just like a couple judges in the room and a couple competitors in the room watching and maybe a few spectators. But you kind of build. And as you get more successful in speech and debate, the rooms get bigger as you get to later rounds, So if you make it to the semis or the finals, there's more people watching. But you kind of your exposure to that builds as your skills build. And so it's a really cool experience. And I find that while there was a lot of extroverts on my team, there was a lot of introverts like me and like you two that were there to really build their skills in terms of, how do I speak in front of people? How do I have confidence in a room? So, can you talk about the different events that you both compete in?
So I started off with public forum in high school, but ever since coming to college, I've only been doing parliamentary debate, which is what we went to state for last year. And right now, my main debate event is probably IPDA, which I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it when you competed. It's basically one-on-one debates that are supposed to be in front of the average person who has no idea what debate terms are. Besides those two, of course, since our coach is pretty big on Extemp, I did Extemp.
Fantastic. What about you, Ariel?
In high school, I started out with platform. I did what would be called original oratory in high school. And now in high school, I decided to step out of my comfort zone even further and try POI, so performance oral interpretation. And it was really exciting to genuinely force myself to do something that I was nervous to and step into these characters rather than just going up in the crowd and speaking out information. And it's just a really great experience for me. But I'm also testing the waters with, sorry, impromptu, but I'm beginning at that just now.
That was my event, my favorite event, impromptu. So there's lots of terms that we've been throwing around here. So essentially, there's three main kinds of events. There's more dramatic events that you might say are similar to theater. You have more traditional speeches, and then you have debate-related events. And so each of those kind of draws specific kinds of people, as you well know. And it's kind of rare, I feel like, for to have someone that can kind of cross all those different styles of speech, but I think each of them works on a different muscle that you have. So can you talk a little bit about how your coach supports you in these and what preparation looks like?
So Professor Wensko has been our main coach, and he has been so wonderful. Even though he has a full schedule and everything, he will make sure to schedule debates with everyone and make sure he sees almost at least every single event that goes out before it goes out, which has been very instrumental in my learning and my ability to actually do well at these competitions. And then on top of that, he offers such amazing criticisms. It's so constructive. I have never actually grown this much in debate, and I don't think I would have if it weren't for our coach.
I would say Winsco is so amazingly dedicated to the students and to the art of speech and debate. He puts in so much time and effort with us. We sign up for our own coaching hours and then we'll meet with him, and it's just so in depth, even though, like for us, IE events specifically, we're running a 10-minute speech in front of him, and he has new things to give us each time we meet with him each week. And it's just very amazing how much effort he puts into the club.
Yeah, I remember running my speeches because typically I would have like two platforms and then a couple limited preps was how I approached it. Limited prep meaning extemp and impromptu. Extemp being you're giving a speech. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of explaining terms because people listening might not know what we're talking about. Extemp is basically you get some kind of policy question, then you got to go comb through your research. When I started, we would literally have binders of things that we printed out. That's less of a thing now. And impromptu is where you just give a quote, you're given a quotation, you have to come up with a speech on the fly. And so I would, have two platforms that are two platform speeches that I memorized plus those. And my coaches, we would just every week, you know, a couple times a week, I would perform the speeches for them. And it would become rote sometimes, you know, coaches, you could feel like getting tired as you're saying the, you know, just imagine listening to the same speech, you know, for 6 months, you know, it can get exhausting. And so to have like a dedicated coach that can sit there and listen and look for new things and help you improve each time is an incredible asset. Now, this question is specifically for Ariel, just based on the events. What is your best memorization hack or strategy?
I would definitely say repeat until it's perfect. I have one of another coach is Crystal Machuga. I worked with her for 3 hours straight one day, and she just run it till you're perfect. We're going to do this section, and until you go through it perfectly memorized, we're not moving on to the next section. And as like, you know, like as hard as that could be for me, it's also hard for her to just keep, you know, we have very dedicated coaches that want us to succeed and want us to do our best. And so we just kept running it until I had my speech perfectly memorized and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you said that, because my question was kind of loaded in the sense that like I was asking for a hack, but I was really hoping you would say the truth, which is you just have to do it over and over again. And like, you know, I have various students that I've helped with speech before, and they're like, how do you memorize so fast? And I'm like, A, it's not fast. And B, I memorize the same way everyone else does, slowly and meticulously. And it just takes time. So this question is for Michaela. When you're about to go into a debate round and you know your competition's heavy or steep, how do you calm your nerves?
I actually faced this for the very first time going to state, where it was my first time doing IPDA, and it was against a gold medalist in the event, and it was my first round ever competing IPDA. So I was definitely like, my nerves were pretty shot. And before walking into the round, I just take a moment to kind of breathe and, you know, realize we're on a floating rock, you know, this is, you know, a drop in the bucket, and just to have fun when I go in there. And if they're a really great competitor, learn from them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The sun is going to keep expanding until it absorbs us. We're all going to die one day. So, you know, things are insignificant in the cosmic scheme of things, but at the same time, it can be scary. I'm curious for both of you, this question for both of you, what's one technique that you've learned in speech that you think the average non-forensics person should know to help improve their speaking? Like one thing that you learn that would be super useful that would help people.
So this is probably coming from more of the exempt side of my history, but it's definitely the focus on nonverbals. A lot of the times you can see when somebody's a bit nervous when speaking and that kind of thing, and really focusing on keeping yourself straight, not kind of letting go of the fact that you are very, very nervous before going on. That eye contact, the focus over your like hand gestures and everything, is something that I feel everybody who has done speech can attest to, the fact that they have brought that out into the real world.
What about you, Ariel?
I would definitely just say acceptance. Accept where you are. Be like, this is how much work I've put into it, and this is where I am, and I'm just going to go give my speech, do my round with what I have. I'm not gonna let myself stress over this, because I accept what I have done and how this is, however it turns out, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I mean, for me, I definitely, my thing is about preparation. You know, like I think sometimes it can feel like you can overprepare, but I don't really think that's true. You know, I think practicing giving your speeches, really having excellent content, having very formed gestures, like all the things that you really need to do well, I think planning can really help with that. And I think a lot of people just want to just say, oh, I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to go out there and talk. And it's like, you know, that might work. You know, if you're a really extroverted, charismatic person, that might work, but being prepared is great. Okay. Next question. This is for both of you. If you were to write a persuasive speech in order to convince a Clovis community student to join the speech and debate team, what would be the 3 points the three sub points in your speech.
Give us a moment to think about this. Okay. This feels like an impromptu round.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you, this is basically an impromptu speech is what I'm saying.
Okay, I can start. I would definitely say what they all say is literally build your confidence, build your speaking skills, learn how to talk in front of people, step out of your comfort zone. That was what drew me into it. And I know it's what's drawn the majority of people into it. Even if they are pretty comfortable in it, it's still good to practice that skill. And then I would definitely say responsibility. It teaches you time management. You only have so much time before you're going to go compete. And you have to, as adults, we have to choose when to meet with our coaches, and we have to choose when to practice with other teammates. And then that would segue into the bond you have with your team is amazing. I love my team. It's just a wonderful experience. You grow so close with these people, and you're finding people for life, honestly. You know these relationships are going to last, and at the very least in 20 years you can be all like, oh, the highlight of our lives, speech and debate.
That's fantastic. All right, Michaela.
So I would probably do the three subpoints of the benefits you can see, community, and networking with an asterisk. So the benefits of speech and debate, we all know, we were all probably given the spiel when we first joined, which is obviously there tend to be a lot more college graduates coming out of speech and debate, and then their like GPAs and their academic performance tends to be higher. But on top of that, you do build the, of course, soft skill of communication. And then besides that, community, Ariel spoke very clearly about this. I do agree that this is probably where a lot of speech debaters find their group, because it's very rare that you're surrounded by as many people who are down to just talk about whatever with you. And networking with the asterisk was because you don't necessarily approach it like an actual networking event, obviously. But when you show up and you're surrounded by other people who, for context, I'm going into law, and in speech and debate, there tend to be a lot of people going into that, you're kind of just taught all of these different things that you wouldn't have known otherwise. And you meet so many new people that you wouldn't have. That culminates in essentially just more opportunities that you would have never been able to get unless you went out there like you do in speech and debate.
Those are fantastic answers, and I would affirm everything you guys said about the benefits and the values. And I think finding your people, and you know, I think connecting over something like this, that there is, let's be real, there is some pain and suffering in those late nights where you're staring at your speech or where you're, you know, compiling evidence, that it can be so exhausting. But if you're doing it with people, it's like going on an adventure together. Now, my next question is kind of an okay boomer question, even though I'm not a boomer, I'm a millennial. But I'm curious, because your generation has kind of a reputation as being ones that don't like to speak in front of others, reclusive. What has been the reception on your campus as you've tried to grow your team? Do you feel like what you both do is considered strange or different, given kind of some of the attributes of your generation?
So I will say, when we tried to get people to join in the very first place, everybody was kind of like, we're all moving online. I'm never going to have to be able to communicate to these other people. But on the flip side, you do get a lot of interest. That's the one thing that I see. Everybody's kind of interested in what we're doing. But a lot of the times there's also the hurdle of, oh, I don't know how to do that at all, so I'm not going to try. And I think that's just what you see with a lot of people looking at speech and debate and looking to try it out for the first time. But generally, the reception of speech and debate on campus is pretty positive, even if students don't want to join, they want to support.
So do you feel like the kind of the generalization that's made about, because I'm assuming both of you kind of went through high school in lockdown and had to experience that, like this kind of like, I don't want to talk in front of other people. Is that a misperception of your generation?
I definitely
No, you can go ahead.
Go ahead.
I definitely think so. I I can see it on campus when people are kind of like a bit more reclusive, and then, you know, you go up and you talk to like you talk to them and it's just like they open up. And I just feel like because COVID essentially stole 2 years of growth and learning and socialization with people, it can be difficult to step out of your comfort zone. But I've met a lot of what I would have come across as shy people before, and then just a few days into friendship they just open up. And I just really feel like it's that blockage that we just all personally need to overcome. I would not say that it's a generational problem, because people, that's what we are. We want connection. We are humans. We want to communicate and be a part of bigger things and be a group. And so it's just really like learning to accept what happened in the past, accept that we lost some time, and continue to grow.
That's a fantastic answer. Now, if you're thinking about Clovis Community College as like an institution, how could the college better support your program?
So I will say, especially since being a new team, we have had a ton of support coming from the college, and we are like very grateful for that. And as we move into becoming a more permanent part of the organization, what would really help is probably like sustained funding, just because of the fact that for the last year or so, we've had maybe two tournaments funded by the school, and all of the other ones, I believe I went to like four this semester alone, we have to pay out of our own pockets. So that means you pay for the hotel, you pay for the entrance fee. If Wensko doesn't pay it, he usually does. And just everything else that is incurred when you go over there, which tends to take a pretty heavy hit on the wallet, I will say. And then on top of that, there are some students who have to use various means of funding in order to get out there, like using FAFSA scholarship money and that kind of thing. And having that sustained funding is really just what allows for more people to enjoy this wonderful thing we know as speech and debate.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like I was fortunate to be at a CSU that was a fully funded program, and so was able to travel quite a bit and not have to pay out of pocket. And the fact that, you know, there are other athletic style events where, you know, they have like Nike sponsorships and all of the rest of the crap that goes with athletics, and you guys are paying tournament fees or hotel fees out of pocket, is insane. And you know, I think that needs to change, obviously, and that starts at the top, valuing other kinds of events beyond just baseball and basketball and stuff like that. But that's
actually been something we've been working on, which is, you can see it a lot in the kind of apparel that we go out to and the fundraisers we do. Yeah. We basically model ourselves as an athletic team, because that is essentially what we are. We put in hours of practice. Yeah,
it's a mind event. Your mind is a muscle, yeah, and you're using it, and your mouth, and the whole thing, right? It's a form of athletics, but it's not conventional. So I guess my next question is, what's your hope for the club going forward? Where would you guys like to be in a year?
I think Ariel can really like well answer this question, because she was one of the like first members there.
Yeah, definitely starting out from like seeing Michaela at the club booth and being so excited, and then seeing how much the team has grown. I totally see them going out to every single tournament they can and doing their best, because they have such supportive coaches that want them to succeed and want them to be the best they can out there. And it's just like Winsco has always said, like, it's not about winning, it's about putting yourself out there and trying your best. Even though our team is pretty fantastic in what they do and very admirable, even as we, like, me and Michaela are about to leave this after this semester, it's going to be left in phenomenal hands that will continue to have this club grow and do amazing things.
Okay, next question is for Michaela. Michaela, how would Fresno be a better place if more people did speech and debate?
So I believe there is this very heavy emphasis on debate where you need to be able to look at both sides, because walking into a debate, most of the time you don't know which side of the debate you're going to be on, and you need to be ready to defend either side, which means you have to have an open mind. And I think in Fresno, excuse me, in Fresno especially, a lot of people tend to be a bit closed-minded. They shut down when it comes to this one specific opinion, not willing or able to hear the other person out. And I think if we had a lot more of that open-mindedness that's present in speech and debate, this city, this country, this world would probably be a better place for it.
Very well articulated. That was a fantastic answer. To close, we always close in the same place. Book recommendations. What are a few books you would each like to recommend to listeners? We can start with Ariel.
Okay, so I'm currently reading The Body Keeps the Score. I have to double check 1 second. I am obsessed already and addicted, and I literally have been limiting myself to a chapter a day because it is very, very hard-hitting with the extreme kind of topics it talks about. But I've never seen a book talk about traumatic issues in a way that always establishes that you need to keep growing and you need to accept and try to become a better person. And it's just a really enlightening book.
So I think for me, the book recommendation I'd give is probably, I'm more into fiction books, so this is going to be the Poppy War trilogy. Obviously, in speech and debate, you get a lot of research into the horrors of war and that kind of thing, but you never actually get to connect with it. You don't understand what's happening there. And the Poppy War, I think, does such a brilliant job of bringing to life kind of what really the issues are that happen when you're in the midst of all of this struggle. And it's just a really great place to start because it's based off of real world events to some extent. So you get to go out, and then when you see something happened, you can go out and research it yourself. It's actually been the root cause of some of the argumentation that I give in debate, which is I will think back to the Poppy War, and I think back to this very specific thing that happened in there, and I'm like, that happened in real life. I'm going to use this.
Have you read her latest book? I think it's Yellowface.
I have not. I did read, I am about to read it though. I'm on Babel right now. I'm working through her
Oh wow,
entire.
that's a big project. So, are you drawn to science fiction like this, or is this something new for you?
This is pretty new, I'm gonna say, just because for the longest time, I was in a book slump, which meant that in order to get me back into it, I had to read really kind of easier to digest books. So I would only consume romance novels. Nobody knows this about me, but I would always just go over to the little romance section in Barnes and Noble and then pick up something. And then eventually I worked my way back into being able to digest the harder and heavier books.
Okay. All right. Last question, which is, well, it's two parts. Part one is, where can people find out more about your team, websites and links and all those kinds of things? Where can people find out information? And then the second part, which each of you will answer, is what's next for you? Where are you going next year? I know Michaela already mentioned law, but I'm curious about kind of pathways for both of you.
I think Ariel is probably really much more well-versed on the PR side of our club,
Yeah.
so.
So we have an Instagram at CCC underscore speech underscore and underscore debate on Instagram. That kind of shows when we're ho hosting our fundraisers, when we're going out to tournaments, and just when you can connect with the team. You can come if you want to, you can come to Clovis Community College to the tutorial center, and we have our meetings from 5 to 6:30 on Wednesdays.
Okay, so what's next for you, Michaela?
So next up, I'm actually going to take a gap semester to work on bringing speech and debate to the Central Valley as a whole. So I'm working on the interconnectedness of all of the collegiate teams and hopefully getting us out there and helping out the high school teams. And then once that's over and done with, I'm actually going to be completing online school. So probably through the San Diego State University online program in order to work at the same time, because I plan to go into a master's of business administration, and those typically require you at least 2 years of work experience after the MBA. I plan to hopefully get into law school. The dream school is Columbia, but we'll see.
Fantastic. What about you, Ariel?
So I actually am pretty sure I'm going to Long Beach, CSU Long Beach. Yeah, I'm really excited because actually that's where Winsko went for his undergrad.
They have a great speech and debate team.
And that was definitely one of the things I was looking at when I was applying to schools. I was like, I need a hobby to keep me grounded and keep me focused on, keep me motivated to do amazing in school. And that is, I'm super excited.
Yeah. People don't know Cal State Long Beach is like the hub. It's truly the hub in California of speech and debate. At least it was, you know, 15 years ago when I was competing, but I assume that's still true. Well, this has been a lot of fun to talk to you both, and I love what you're doing, and I love that you're into this amazing hobby that's going to have benefits throughout the rest of your lives. So keep it up. Do we have a competition at some point in the near term?
So we do have nationals,
okay,
which is basically just going to be me and my parliamentary debate partner. We managed to somehow rope our parents into paying the probably several thousand dollars to send us over there and compete in Reno, Nevada. And since it's just going to be us two, we're really looking forward to having support from the rest of the team. They're usually wonderful with that. Sometimes I've called them and just been like, hey, I need help with this very specific debate thing. And I'm like in my hotel room prepping for something. And it's just, that's the next thing, I guess.
Fantastic. Well, good luck, Michaela. Go team and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.